Thank you for listening to the Paradigm Podcast. Paradigm is a young adult ministry that exists to see lives changed by Jesus. For more information about Paradigm, go to ParadigmKC.com. We hope this message is inspiring and life-changing. Thanks for listening.
Hey, good evening, Paradigm. If you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you find the book of Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be at tonight. And I want to share with you a quick story. And a few years ago, I was actually about 16 years old, so it's been a few years. I got this gasoline, and I got some wood, and I got some friends together, and here's what we were going to do. We were going to have a bonfire. It was going to go down. It was going to be awesome. And my dad, he taught me how to start fires. And so if you've never lived out in the country, here's what you do. You get some gasoline, because we didn't have any diesel, and you douse the wood with the gasoline. Now, you don't just light that on fire, because that would be no good. You'd have a small explosion. You actually make a trail of gasoline far from the fuel, and then you light that trail on fire. So I had it all planned out. But the only thing that I didn't factor into the equation was the humidity in East Texas. It gets humid down there, y'all. Like it's like when you took a hot shower in the bathroom and it's just water in the air. That's how it stays in East Texas. And so what had happened was that gasoline, it began to fill the air. Like it began to vaporize is what it does. And so although I thought I was being safe, when I lit that trail of gasoline, that gas had vaporized in this entire area, and it was like we had a small explosion, eyebrows singed, and we were supposed to have this amazing everyone come together. We were going to have a good time, and be honest with you, everyone just went home. Like there was so much fear that incited in that moment that we didn't even get to get together. And what had happened was is I had mishandled the fuel that was supposed to bring all of us together and have a good time. I mishandled this gasoline and it caused everything to blow up. And I start there tonight because that is a great picture of this thing that you're really familiar with, that I know I'm really familiar with, that if we mismanage this thing, it has the potential to blow up in our faces. And the thing I'm talking about is anger. Anger is this thing that we have all experienced, right? And we've all been around somebody that's a little bit angry. Maybe you listening to this right now, you've had some anger that has subsided in your life today. And anger is this thing that we have all experienced in our heartland that has the tendency to get out of hand. And anger is just like that gasoline. Like if it is used properly, it can actually cause things to go really, really well and help you get further down the road in life. But if you misappropriate anger, just like you misappropriate gasoline, it will start to fill the air. And there will be some sort of spark. And things will begin to blow up in your life. In anger, man, it can blow up your relationships. It can blow up your judgment. It can blow up your life. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Like, you know this to be true, that anger has the potential to blow up relationships, right? Like some of you, the things that you have said in the middle of being angry, you deeply regret. Others of you, you all know somebody that's like in their 50s. You know a boomer that never really established how to navigate, handle his or her anger. And listen, you don't want to be that person. And it's caused bondage and it's called carnage to all sorts of relationships in their lives. Or maybe it's blown up just your judgment. You ever been drunk on anger, right? Like there's holes in your wall because you've thrown your fist through them. It blows up your relationships. It blows up your judgment. And also what science tells us is that it can blow up your life. Like you have a 2 times greater likelihood to have a heart attack if you struggle with consistent outfits of rage. That anger, it adds to the fuel of anxiety. Anger, it adds to the fuel of stress and depression. That anger, some scientists believe that anger is more detrimental than any other emotion that we can hang on to and mismanage. So we're in the series called Heartland, and we've been looking at what God's Word has to say about the issues of our heart. And that biblically, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about this place where the emotions live. And it's also this place where the desires in your life live. And what the scripture says emphatically is that we are called, this is what it says in Proverbs 4:23, we are called above all else. Above all else. So you think about all the things that we are called to do in this life. The scripture says, above all else, guard your heart. Because from it flows the wellspring of life. And so we're looking at issues of the heart. And I've got a question as we get going tonight. How's your heart doing? Are you angry right now? Now, before you click off this video and before you check out, let me just throw you through a few scenarios that maybe have provoked some anger in your life, all right? Have you ever been on a phone call when, like, maybe your phone was tripping and you had to call Apple and like, you went through the 30-minute ordeal where you're punching number one for this help and then it leads you to punch number two and then you got to put in your credit card information or your social security number and you tried to speak it into the phone and that didn't work and then finally you got to talk to a real person and they didn't speak your language very well, and then they begin to try to help you, and basically they told you to do everything that you know you already need to do that you looked up online, and it's not working, you know, and you started getting a little bit, or maybe you've been sitting at a red light before. I don't know if this ever happened to you, and you sat there, it turned from red to green, and you were like 3 seconds too late getting on the gas pedal, and somebody behind you started honking. Now, there's just something about, you need to have a little honk etiquette in your life, all right? If you want to honk, like there's an angry honk where you just kind of let it sit a little bit, and it startled you a little bit, you're like, man, what's the big hurry? You got a little bit angry, or maybe during the quarantine, you've been out to a restaurant, you know, we don't really get to go sit down in those anymore, but you called in your food to go, and you picked it up, and you signed the credit card statement, and then you sanitized because you used their pen, and then you got in the car, and then you went home, and it was like a 15-minute drive, only to get home to realize that they done messed your order up. Right, like I think that there's been some things that you've experienced probably recently, maybe not any of those things, but maybe they didn't DM you back. They were supposed to Venmo you before the quarantine and they just forgot. And so someone owes you $8 and you let them know once y'all get back in the office, or maybe you didn't get invited to the quarantine. The quarantine's over, you didn't get invited to the reopen party. And so you feel left out right now. And that I think everyone listening right now has gone through some anger issues. Maybe you're going through some anger issues and God's word is going to speak into those issues. Tonight, I titled this message, if you're taking notes creatively, here's the title, anger. We're talking about anger. And here's what I want to do. I want to answer three questions. What is it? Where does it come from? And what do we do with it? Jesus, he's talked a lot about the issues of the heart. And when he came to be the very embodiment of God. He came to help us understand what it looks like to live our best life, our most abundant life. And Jesus came and he came preaching this message that was a little bit confusing to people in the day. And here's what Jesus basically said. It's not about you being a good person. Jesus, here, listen, Jesus said that it's not about you learning how to button things up, manage your morality, and be really good. If we're talking about anger, be really good at anger management in life. Jesus said that every one of our issues is much deeper than the surface. That every one of our issues, Jesus would say, come from the heart. And so he's going after the heart tonight. And specifically, we're talking about anger because God wants you and I to have a heartland in which he is pleased to dwell. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is given like his magnum opus sermon, all right? Like this is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about all sorts of things. He's talking about lust and the law. He's talking about guilt and greed. He's talking about heaven and hell. And on the list, he talks about anger in the context of our relationships. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. He says, You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry, you can circle that word, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He goes on and says, whoever says to his brother, raka, which that's kind of an old way of saying, it literally means empty-headed. It was back in the day, if you just looking at somebody and say, you are so dumb for real, right? You are so stupid, right? That's what he said. You look at somebody and you begin to insult them and question their intelligence. He said, you shall be in danger of the council. He says, but whoever says, you fool, which back in that day, that meant that you don't know God. You're wild. You're living as if there are no consequences. He says, if you say you fool, you shall be in danger of hellfire. I don't know if you just caught what Jesus is saying. He's saying that if you are governed by anger and you don't manage and you don't process and you don't take your anger and you do with it what God designed for you to do with it, if you are governed by anger, Jesus said that you're destined for hell. Like Jesus, he has put anger on the same level as murder. The law says in Leviticus 24:17 that if you murder, you deserve to die. And so what Jesus is saying to his audience, that if you mismanage this emotion called anger, and you harbor anger and bitterness towards your brother, that it deserves the same, it's a capital crime. I wonder, are you an angry person? Point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this down. What is anger? What is anger? First of all, let me give you a couple things that it's not. Anger is not your identity. All right, you need to know this, that anger is an emotion that we feel, that we express. It's not who we are. And so some of you come from a long line of angry people, and so you just have embraced this identity. I'm just an angry elf, right? I'm just angry. And it's something that you've embraced. It's a persona that you've put on. Listen, anger is not your identity. And Jesus wants to change that. The second thing that you need to understand about anger is that it's not a bad thing. Like anger is it's an emotion. And emotions are not a bad thing. In fact, they're really good things. We find in the scripture that God, I mean, sinless, holy, righteous, perfect God, he experiences anger. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he never sinned, but he was angry. That anger, man, it can motivate you to do some incredible things. Like when you're angry about abortion, you go fight for life for babies that have no ability to speak up for their own rights. Like when you're angry about racism, you fight for reconciliation and unity and equal opportunity. When you're angry about viruses, you go and you research and you try to find a vaccine. That anger is not a bad thing when it's harnessed and channeled in the right direction. But tonight, we're not talking about the good type of anger, because the scripture is not talking about the good type of anger. That Jesus, he's talking about an emotion of anger that's gone bad. See, everything that God has created, sin has corrupted. And we find so often in our lives that anger is this thing that can get out of hand. And when we let anger take control, we get out of control. Let me give you a definition of anger real quick, just to bring us all on the same page. Anger, note this, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. It's getting irritated. It's I'm not getting my way. That anger is the reason why some of you don't talk to your parents. That anger is the reason why some of you have blocked out your friends that y'all were so close in college. Y'all were tied in high school. But because there was anger and there was unresolved conflict, and you just kind of let it run its course and have its way, it's the reason why you don't have those friends anymore. That anger, I think it plays out in our lives in a few different ways. Here's the three categories I put out for anger. You have the Hulk, you have the sulk, and then you have the insult. Now, most of us know the Hulk, right? This is the extroverted. This is the, I'm going to blow up. This is the rage monster. You know, you better get out of my way, right? And you got to walk on eggshells around this person. And if you're this person, you've cooled off and you thought, I probably shouldn't have said that, right? Maybe you're not the Hulk. Maybe you're the sulk. The sulk is kind of the pouty, you know. Like, I'm in control on the outside, but I'm going to kill him with my silence, right? And you're slowly simmering, and you're mad because you didn't get your way, but you're just going to kind of pout. I remember even this last Christmas, I got angry, and so this was how I responded to it. I'm usually pretty poised, and so I don't really blow up a whole lot. I've done that before, but I don't blow up a whole lot. In my marriage, I married the Hulk. She's tiny. She's about 115 pounds, but she will turn green, y'all. And she will extrovert her anger. But she married the sulk slash insult. And so, like, over Christmas, I got angry, and I just kind of pouted. And here's what happened. Like, because I was angry, because I was sulking, I missed out on some special moments. And if you're the sulking, angry person, you're pouting over there while life is passing you by, and you're missing out. Or maybe you don't sulk so much. Maybe you struggle with, this is probably my main expression, the insult. And this is, you get angry and you get even. And the way you get even is use your wit, right? This is the sarcastic jabbing. You know, death by a thousand sarcastic cuts. And you think that you're being funny by making light of what is serious, all the while you're denying the reality that you're angry. And so you're going to end up laughing at other people at the end of your life alone. I wonder, are you a Hulk? Are you a sulk or an insult? And all of these, they fall under the umbrella of anger. And Jesus says this, if you have anger towards your brother that's left unaddressed or unrepented of, you're going to hell. Like, this is a serious issue. Like, some of you, you're listening to this and you're like, man, I don't need to address this. I don't need to deal with this. And what's happening is that since you are not addressing this, everyone that you're close to is experiencing the outflow of what's going on in your heart, all right? And you may feel like it's not a big deal, but what you've done is you've created a living hell for those around you. And Jesus says this is a very, very serious thing. And he's cutting to the heart of the issue tonight. He's in this series of teaching where he's trying to help us understand where all of our issues come from. And his half-brother James, he would have listened to this teaching. And James, he began to follow Jesus after he saw him die on a cross and raised from the grave. And later on in James's life, he writes about anger and conflict. And here's what James says in James 4, verse 1. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" He's like, where do all your issues come from? All of your battles, where do they stem from, right? And his audience would be like, okay, is it the Romans? Is it my mom? Is it my in-laws? Is it, what is it? Here's what he says. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? I'll put it this way. James is saying essentially, do not all of your issues come from your own selfishness or you not getting your way? Point number two, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this down. Where does anger come from? Where does anger come from? What Jesus is saying and what his brother, his half-brother James is saying is that your anger issues, all of your anger problems, they come from you. That you are the common denominator. And the quicker that you and I can admit that, the closer we are to having liberty and peace in life. I think out of all the emotions, and we're going to talk about a few different emotions over the next couple of weeks, I think that anger may be the one that is like the hardest to admit, right? I think someone's, you know, listen to this, and maybe you've experienced somebody that's like an addict to anger, but they don't know it or they don't want to admit it. I've got one of my most beloved family members. It's like when I was growing up, this was the guy that I was like, man, I want to be like him. I mean, he had the ability just to win the whole room. He was a model for Cavender's Boot City. He knew celebrities. I mean, he was tough. He always smelt good. He always looked good. And he was just, I mean, I was just like in awe of this guy. He was so cool. I haven't talked to him for years because he's addicted to anger. Ironically, his name is James. And he has not come to the grips that the common denominator, and he's been through some hard things, but the common denominator, the reason why he has driven everyone away from him is because he's angry. And anger, it comes from us. It stems from within. And some of you are like, I'm not an angry person. You know, I'm just a direct communicator, right? Chad, I'm not an angry person. I'm just passionate about a cause. I'm an activist. Or you know, maybe you listen to this. I'm not an angry person. I'm an eight, all right? Or I'm a nine. Or I'm a one. It's, you know, that's who I am. I'm not an angry person. People just misunderstand me. Or I think the most popular thing in our denial is, I don't get angry, bro. I just get frustrated, right? That inner Oprah inside of us is trying to convince us that we're not that bad. It's not anger, right? It's just, you know, it's disappointments. It's frustration. It's all the same thing, y'all. And what the scripture is saying is that the source of your anger, the reason, the reality that you are angry is because there's something broken inside of here. The scripture, it's clear that no one really makes you angry. Did you get that? No one makes you angry. I think some of you are like, bro, you don't know my boss. Like I have been loving this work from home thing because I ain't had to talk to my boss. And when we're on a Zoom call, I can just like hit the video and be not looking at anybody and then searching something and playing a game over here. Or you're like, man, what do you mean no one makes me angry? You don't know my mama. Or you don't know my car. Maybe it's a car thing. Or you don't know my life. And listen, I don't know all of the challenges you face. And I don't want to minimize those challenges. But here's what I know about the challenges that I face. Here's what I know about the challenges that you face. They don't make you angry. They simply reveal the anger that is already in your heart. And that it's your pride that blocks the truth of God's word, that the number one source of your anger is you. Like when you don't get your way, that's when you're road raging, right? They're going too slow in the left lane. Now that should be a sin, but it's not. And so it just makes us mad, right? Or they're riding your tail when you're not in a hurry. It's the moment where you're like, this isn't what I deserve. You know, I deserve to be further in life, making more money. I deserve to be married. Or this isn't what I planned for, and a virus took place, and a shut-in. And listen, it's your pride that is causing you to justify the reason why it's okay for you to be angry right now. And write this down. You need to note this, that pride is the anesthetic that numbs the pain of your stupidity. It's pride that convinces you that you don't need to change. It's pride that convinces you that everything should be catered to you. And what the scripture is saying clearly is the reason why you get angry, listen, don't miss this. What's underneath it all is because you're not getting your way. That in 100% of the conflicts that you've had to endure, you were involved. That anger, where does it come from? It comes from within. And Jesus, he's making it really clear that if we leave this anger unaddressed, man, it's going to blow up. Just like that gasoline did. You know, I thought I was managing it properly, but I was the one that poured the gas on the logs. I was the one that poured the gas trail. I was the one that lit it on fire. I was the one that was guilty of it all because I mismanaged this thing. And that is what anger is related to. And if we mismanage it, it's not going to end well for us. Jesus, he's rooting this message on anger in the context of relationships. And he gets back into Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. He draws the conclusion. He says, therefore, if you have all that anger in your heart, he says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, like what he's saying, if you come to church, if you're watching this video right now and you think you're doing a spiritual thing, I mean, he says real clearly, he says, if you come to church, if you're tuning into spiritual things and you remember that your brother has something against you, here's what he tells us to do. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus takes this very seriously. Point number three, and finally, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this question down. What do we do with our anger? We looked at what it is. Where does it come from? Now, what do we do with it? And what Jesus is making real clear is that you don't stuff it. That you don't write it off like it's no big deal. But what Jesus is calling, if you want to follow Jesus' way, he's calling you to deal with your anger so that you don't destroy your relationships. And I know that can be difficult. But don't you wish your dad would have dealt with his anger towards your mom? Don't you wish that your family or the people that you love the most, don't you wish that they would have dealt with their anger before things blew up? And I know it can be uncomfortable, but living in broken relationships is even worse. And so what do we do with our anger? And we deal with it. And when anger takes control, we understand that things can get out of control. And so we've got to deal with it. But I think when that emotion comes, a lot of us treat anger like I treat my updates on my Mac. You know, it comes and it tells me, like, there's a little notification that pops up. And it says that you need to install the latest software. And I don't know if you do this, but here's what I do. You can click the little drop-down menu. And it's like you can install and restart your computer right now. You can do it in an hour, or you can do it tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow. And I don't know about you, but here's what I always do. I'm always, hey, remind me tomorrow. And when that thing pops up, I think there's a few different ways that you can treat that situation. You can overreact, you can underreact, or you can react properly. Like, it would be crazy if that notification popped up and I saw it and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my computer? And I just folded it and I threw it out the window, right? That would be crazy if I overreacted, or my tendency is I just underreact. I just, you know what? Just remind me tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow. And then I look down a year later and apps are not even able to run on my computer because I haven't updated my operating system in months, right? But what the scripture calls us to do, and what you and I know we ought to do when we get those types of reminders, is that we've got to deal with it. Listen, some of y'all watching this, you hope to be married someday. And the number one thing that will determine the success of your marriage is how you deal with conflict and how you deal with anger. And if you don't learn how to deal with this in your 20s, listen, you're only becoming more of who you are today. And if you don't learn how to deal with this, it is not going to end well for you in your life. And so what do we do with our anger? The first thing we do is we got to admit it. We've got to be honest. Here, you could say this with me. I am angry. It's okay. You don't have to be tough. You don't have to act like words don't affect you. You don't have to act like they don't get to you. No, you can admit it. I've got some hurt in my heart towards this person or this situation. You have to admit it. The second thing you got to do is you have to analyze it. More often than not, when you begin to evaluate where does this anger come from, you will see that it stems from you being embarrassed because there was something that took away from your perceived ego, from your perceived pride, or your self-esteem. And so you need to analyze, why am I angry? What's going on here? So you admit it, you analyze it, and listen, you act on it. And so as a result of this message, you need to go apologize to somebody. And maybe you just need to hit pause on this sermon right now. Call somebody up, text somebody, hey, could we talk? And the scripture says that you seek reconciliation. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to reopen this thing that we call Paradigm, where we're going to gather together in, you know, big party. It's going to be awesome. CDC regulated. It's going to be great, right? And I can't wait. But listen, don't show up here if you have unresolved issues with somebody else. It would be better for you to not show up and go seek reconciliation. This is what God's word tells us to do. Don't deny what's going on in your heart. I wonder, are you angry? The scripture tells us that God is. The scripture tells us over and over that God is angry towards certain things. Like, one of the things that the scripture makes it plain that God is angry towards is sin. That God, he's so angry towards sin that you and I, we are sinners. And what it says in the scripture is that if we haven't dealt with our sin according to God's plan, then our sin will be the occasion for God to demonstrate his anger upon us forever. The scripture, it says things that are a little bit uncomfortable, that don't fit into the box of, you know, grace-filled love, fairy dust sprinkling around Jesus. Like it says this in Isaiah 63:3, it says this, I have trodden, talking about God, God has trodden the winepress alone. And from the peoples, no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood splattered on my garments and stained all of my apparel. Did you catch that? Like God in the Bible saying that I trampled people to death in my anger. It goes on in Isaiah 63:10, it says, but they rebelled and they grieved the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. That if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, you are not just, you know, a non-issue to God. You are, in fact, his adversary. That if you are in your sin and you have not come to the point in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, listen, the scripture says this, listen, you're God's enemy. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so the scripture, I love that it doesn't leave us there. Like when Jesus tells us, if you realize that there's somebody that has something against you, go work it out. God demonstrated this. Like Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he didn't do, right? And I love this because God, like what did he do in response to his anger? He remembered that you, that me, he remembered that we had something against him. And so he sought us out to be reconciled with him. We find in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, wrap your mind around that. Like you, some of you watch this, you have overtly sinned today. Like you were watching some other video on YouTube before this one that is defaming the name of God. Like while you were, like today, while you are listening to this video, while you were sinning against God, every time that you've looked at people naked, every time that you've pleased yourself, every time that you've even done the slightest thing is cast judgment upon somebody that's wearing a mask or cast judgment upon somebody that's not wearing a mask. Every time you felt racism, called somebody stupid because you didn't understand where they came from, every time that you've done something and sinned against God, like listen, God is not holding that against you if you trust in him. Your sin is far bigger than you could understand. But God's love is far greater than you can comprehend. Because as angry as his anger is against the sin of mankind, his grace is even sweeter. And so it goes on in verse 9. It says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. What Paul is talking about, the guy that wrote this, what he's talking about is that there was this event in history that changed everything. It was when God poured out his anger and his wrath on his son, Jesus. It was as if God had all of this gasoline that he's been storing up to scorch humanity. And it came the time when he was going to pour it all out and light it on fire, baby. But instead, he took his son and he doused his son in that gas and that thing that was just going to scorch into flames, and he threw the match on his son and he had caused his son to be consumed with the flame of his wrath when his son was being murdered on the cross. That Isaiah says that it pleased God to crush his son. Why? Why would God do that, right? It's because he loves you right where you are. Whatever you've done, whatever's going on in here, he is crazy about you and he desperately wants a relationship with you. And the reason why this guy is writing this letter and he's so fired up about how we are now right with God, we're no longer enemies when we've trusted in Jesus Christ, is because he understands the depth of this death of the Son of God on the cross. But then he says that that Son of God rose from the grave and we will live with him because he is alive. And in verse 11, one of the conclusions from this great news, he says this, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." I wonder, right where you are, do you rejoice in God? Do you rejoice in the profound truth that if you've trusted Jesus, you are reconciled with God? That God's not angry at you because Jesus paid the price for your sin. Being a Christian means that you surrender your heart completely. You surrender your emotions. You surrender your desires because you understand that God gave his heart completely for you. And only until you understand God's heart will you truly be able to have his heart for the world. So how's your heart? Are you angry? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity just to open up your word. God, I pray for my friends that are watching this video, God, that they would be honest. God, that they would begin to deal with the issues that are stemming in their heart. God, I pray that they would trust your truth more than they would trust their feelings. God, I pray that they would be able to filter what's going on in their life through the lens of their community, those that love them, that love the Word of God, that would speak truth into their life. God, I pray for the person listening to this that has daddy issues, that has deep wounds. God, that they would be wise as they navigate the anger that they feel. God, I pray that our relationships would be marked by peace and reconciliation, not division and anger. And God, we would surrender to you our hearts completely. Father, if someone's listening to this message and they don't know you, God, I pray that they would just simply pray, confess their need for you. They would trust that your payment on the cross was sufficient for their salvation, and they'd follow you. God, we thank you for your sacrifice for us, that you took the heat so that we don't have to. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.